6, In Re Atlantic Marine Construction Company. We'll hear from Atlantic Marine.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Scott Hastings here on behalf of Atlantic Marine. Today we're asking this Court to do what we had also asked the District Court in Austin to do, which is to enforce the plain language of a contract. It's something that courts do all the time. The contract at issue here has a forum selection clause that mandated all disputes to be heard in Virginia, either in the state or the federal courts in Norfolk, which is very close to where my client's home base is, which was in Virginia Beach. My client cares greatly about forum selection clauses. It has business all over the United States, working on military projects, and it really appreciates the opportunity to discuss the clause today, because if it was forced to litigate every dispute with every contractor that has ever had across the country, it might bankrupt my client trying to do that. Your Honors, we believe that the law in this area is clear that forum selection clauses in business agreements need to be enforced. The Bremen is very clear on this, and I know there's a dispute about whether the Bremen's the controlling test, but it is certainly the starting point of discussing the strong federal policy on enforcing forum selection clauses.
I mean, the thing that's weird is no one's saying it's not enforceable. Your opponent isn't saying, oh, it's a contract of adhesion or that it's fraud or something, you know, something else, the traditional defense to enforcement. He's just really saying, I guess, that it just melds in as a factor under 1404 rather than as a standalone, you get to enforce it.
Judge Haynes, I believe your question leads right into the problem that is developed under the law. It is our position, and we believe most circuit courts have accepted this position, that when you have a forum selection clause, it renders venue improper. The Second Circuit case is one we've cited on this point. Since we filed our petition, the Eighth Circuit has joined in with the majority in a case called Union Electric. It was 689 F3rd 968.
And under the private parties render venue improper?
Your Honor, in a contract case, the answer is yes, and that is the majority holding of it's the Second Circuit.
How do you distinguish the Stewart case, which is the Supreme Court precedent, where there's an implied holding to the contrary?
There's no express holding to the contrary, Your Honor. And Stewart,
implied.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. And Stewart has created the confusion in this area, because Stewart expressly recognizes that the parties had waived and had not pressed in the Supreme Court the improper venue issue, which has left lots of courts to speculate as to what does Stewart mean, assuming
that venue was proper in Alabama.
What's that, Your Honor?
That was because venue was proper in Alabama.
The Supreme Court did not expressly say that. The Supreme Court
said it in a footnote.
Your Honor, venue.
What do you do with the language? What are you laying the language of Justice Marshall, which says quite plainly that Congress, Scalia disagrees with it, but in dissent, he says quite plainly that Congress, by federal statute, 1404, expressed the federal policy of allocating among the lower federal courts by convenience and by measure and balance, and that to that extent, the state law from which these contracts are derived are not enforceable.
Your Honor, I believe I understand the Court's question. First of all, it is established law that this is a question of federal law. It is governed by either 1404 or 1406 or 12b3. And what Stewart does not address is the relationship between those provisions. Clearly, we could not be here and talk about Texas law trumping and controlling how this is analyzed. We'd have to talk about the federal law, but what's missing in Stewart is any decision to explain the relationship of the various provisions.
Well, the thing that's interesting in Stewart is the first line or so, one of the first lines is, the question here is whether federal or state law governs. And that seemed to be their focus rather than the procedural conundrum that we're sort of finding ourselves in. As well, it looks to me like what ultimately happened is when it went back to the district court kept it in Alabama, and then the 11th Circuit mandamused in In re Rico.
And
am
Your
I
Honor,
right on that, or did I miss a step?
No, Your Honor, you're absolutely right. And that's the Stewart case started with a dispute about the federal versus state law, the eerie guess, or I'm sorry, does the district court look to state law for controlling? And again, that's settled. We look at federal law. And the
is a choice of law provision in your contract in addition to the choice form?
Your Honor, I was very surprised to see there's not a choice of law provision in this contract. However, that actually raises one point I wanted to make today.
It also reduces one of the considerations that would be there. It could have been an implicit breach of that.
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, it does. The absence of a choice of law provisions, if we're in a 1404 analysis, that may factor into the analysis, clearly, under the established law. What's important about making sure we have the procedure right, because if we could only be under a 1404 analysis, which is what the district court said in this case, we have a very interesting problem. And
let me just stay with it, if you would, for a moment. Stay with this idea that the agreement of the parties here rendered the Western District an improper venue, despite the fact that it was proper statutorily. That's what you're maintaining, right?
That is our position, Your Honor. In venue, whether
what you want to do then is to give that on its face would seem to be in the teeth of the Supreme Court's opinion in Stewart, which says that the question is one of federal law, and that period, and the agreement, choice of form was not enforceable under Alabama law, did not obtain. It just said that all of these agreements are going to be subject to the overarching policy of the Congress to allocate this business. You contract against that background.
And Your Honor, in the Stewart case, the court was addressing and focused at first on the question of federal versus state law. What it doesn't address is federal versus a contract provision. Okay, it does not address the relationship of the federal policy and whether venue is proper versus the contract.
Well, and that leads to my question, which is, I thought I understood you to agree with me, that after the Supreme Court ruling in Stewart, it went back to the Northern District of Alabama, who then said, we'll keep it. It went back to the 11th Circuit, who said, we're going to mandamus you because you failed to give this and that was even under 1404, the significant weight it was entitled to. And I think that ended it. I mean, it didn't go back to the Supreme Court yet again.
That's correct. That is absolutely
right. So the last word there was mandamus from the Stewart case itself. That was the ultimate last chapter of that book, if I'm
That is correct, Your Honor. In this case, our position in our current petition is that my client should have its contract enforced regardless of the procedural posture. If we're under 1404A, we're exactly under the RICO situation, is what it got called, In re RICO, when it came back to the 11th Circuit. But more importantly, we don't even think the court should reach the 1404 analysis, because we believe that this court should follow the majority in concluding that Stewart simply did not address or it does not control on the issue of whether a 12B3 improper venue motion is appropriate here. There's one thing I'd like to call this court's
the majority.
Yes.
What are you referring to?
Your Honor, there are numerous federal circuit courts that have held a 12B3 motion in favor of another federal forum is absolutely appropriate. Those include the Second Circuit in the Trade Comet case, the Eighth Circuit most recently in the Union Electric case, the 11th Circuit in the Slater case. Slater's a little bit, I want to be clear on that one. The reason we didn't make it as explicit in our brief on this point is because you have to read through Slater and see that they're talking about the Eastern District of Virginia, but we believe the Slater case supports that. The Seventh Circuit in the Mulzunder case, and the Ninth Circuit in the Hillis versus Hindman case.
So you think there are arguably, you've said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that go your way. Like Wright and Miller says there includes one of those is going the other way, the 12B6 route. I mean, I guess we don't rule just based on You've got more circuits than the other side does. But do you acknowledge that at least three circuits would do it differently?
Your Honor, there are circuits that would do it differently, but I want to
Which ones are those?
The First Circuit has a different approach. The Third Circuit has a different approach. And the Sixth Circuit has a different approach.
Do those result in the Forum Selection Clause not being enforced?
Your Honor, I'm glad you asked the question, because the trend in the law, the First Circuit has the most extreme position. It's a 12b-6 failure to state a claim, so it's not only do you enforce the clause, unlike a venue issue, you can raise this later on in the proceeding and you haven't waived it, and you can wait all the way till the end of trial and say sorry to the plaintiff, you forgot to prove an element of your claim. The Third Circuit started off saying this could only be reviewed under 1404, but has since clearly stated it is joining with the First Circuit on that extreme view on 12b-6. The Sixth Circuit is the one that is probably most against us. It is the first court that read Stewart the way the district court did in this case, and that drew a dissent from the Sixth Circuit, and since then, other judges on the Sixth Circuit have questioned whether 12b-6 might be an option.
Okay, and you keep saying this is an extreme view. That's your characterization. Yes. Is that correct?
That is, Your Honor.
Wright and Miller have said that that's the better view.
Your Honor, if that's the better view, we would still have our clause enforced at some point in this case, so we would be willing to accept that view.
Well, actually, Wright and Miller says that it does not render venue improper in an otherwise proper forum.
But, Your Honor, it would make their claim fail to state a claim, and so if that was the case here, J. Crew would have no claim against my client because there would be no...
I mean, the problem that I have is I just feel like we're kind of getting all looped up in the procedure of this, and the question to me is there a defense to the enforcement of this forum selection clause? I haven't heard one. And so why wouldn't it be enforced right up front? Why are we messing around with all of this procedural conundrum when that, to me, seems to be the fundamental question?
And, Your Honor, ultimately the clause needs to be enforced, and there really is no defense. No defense has been asserted to J. Crew under the traditional grounds that you would see in the Bremen case. The reason the procedure, though, is very important, and I think J. Crew has done a good job of cataloging district court cases that have analyzed forum selection clauses under 1404A analysis. If you dig in further and start looking at those cases, some of them enforce clauses, some of them don't enforce clauses, and what happens if business is left to have the every time a forum selection clause is at issue, to have only the option of a 1404A, there's going to be no predictability as to a given case.
Can
this
you
case
address the 1404A argument here and tell us why the decision reached was mandamusable?
Yes, Your Honor. First of all, we believe that under Volkswagen that procedurally it is proper for us to be here. There really is no alternative remedy at the end of this lawsuit. On the merits, though, it's very important. The issue that's here is one of great importance. I'm going to come back to the error in just a second, but the issue that's here is of great importance as seen by the number of district court cases that are following interpretations of the law contrary to other circuit courts. It's an issue that keeps repeating itself, and at some day we would hope that there's clarification of the law.
I understand that you count all of those jurisdictions. Let's just talk about the merits of the argument itself. The core of Stewart is that the Congress here has made this very fundamental decision, and it's federal law that controls, and hence the non-enforceability in Alabama was not about it. It became simply a circumstance to be considered along with 1404. In other words, one way to read Stewart is simply that Congress surely has the power in allocating among the states to displace state law, and it says it did, that state law does not control the enforceability of these provisions. If you don't have state law controlling it, I don't understand how state law doesn't control. However, it renders the venue improper, which it says that you're having a private agreement trump the federal statute, which Stewart says is controlling.
Your Honor,
How do we deal with that?
Your Honor, the problem that I see with that analysis is that Stewart address the state law issue. But what Stewart did not do was jump into the foray, which is become the issue of this circuit split we've been discussing, as to the relationship of the contracts with the federal venue statutes. We have multiple federal venue provisions. And what Stewart does not expressly address is the relationship between the contract and the 12b3 or the 1406 issue. And Stewart could be more clear. I think that's the source of all the case law and the litigation. And so ultimately, Your Honors, I see my time's up here.
I don't quite see how you say that that federal law, as they plainly said in Stewart, displaces, it's not controlled by the form provision, but yet you say that it is controlled by it because it renders the statutory allocation of venue improper. And that gives full force to an agreement, which it's an allocation among districts, which they say is controlled by 1404.
And Your Honor, if I may respond to that briefly, under federal law, there is a very strong presumption in favor of enforcing the contracts for business. And it starts with the Bremen. The Carnival Cruise Lines versus Shute case decided after Stewart is another great example of the case. In Carnival Cruise Lines, actually, the court granted or affirmed the granting of a summary judgment, pouring the plaintiff out of court based upon a forum selection clause. The federal law and the federal policy has always been to enforce these types of clauses. The issue that Stewart was, at least at the beginning, looks like it was there to take, besides creating this procedural quagmire that we've been discussing, is could a state place its own limitations on that? And the answer to that is no. And actually, in the district court here, we did have some arguments that Jay Crew raised based upon Texas state law, and Judge Yackel was correct in not accepting the state law issues. It's a different issue when we're dealing with the relationship of the contract and the federal venue provisions.
You've saved time for rebuttal. I hope on rebuttal you'll address the 1404A factors and why it's mandamusable, why the analysis is wrong. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor, I will. Thank you.
Could I ask you one more question? Suppose this case had been filed originally in the forum you wanted. That district court could have transferred it back to Austin on forum nonconvenience? I mean, under 1404?
Your Honor, that is, I think the answer that the option would have been available, the standard, you'd have to look at the facts of the situation. The standard would be a very high burden.
Let me just cut straight to this. Suppose that the district judge here had simply done what you asked and transferred this to Virginia under whatever provision. It got there. That court could have said, to change the facts so that all the convenience factors are really here, and he enforced your agreement, and he sends it back. Are you telling me that that district could not apply 1406 and send it right back to Texas?
No, Your Honor. I believe that the first decision would be binding in the case.
In effect, didn't the district court do just that? What he did was that he asked, it's a question of whether this judge in Texas is going to make the decision on 1404 or the judge up in Virginia makes it.
And Your Honor, as far as the contract goes, the parties have to file their contract. And if the lawsuit had been filed in Virginia, we would not have a discussion about whether venue was proper or not. The only issue would be a 1404A analysis, starting off with the heavy burden, and as Judge Haynes pointed out, like the RICO case in the 11th Circuit, the standards which it would be a rare case under which a court would trump the contract. And so then we would get into the 1404A factors and to see if J. Crew could have met that rare case. And the decision would have been made by the Virginia court, which is what the parties agreed to, was a Virginia forum to make the decisions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the court. I'm Chad Simon here on behalf of Respondent J. Crew Management, Inc. Your Honors, I'll address Stewart and the district court's decision to apply 1404 momentarily in the manner in which it did so. But I'd like to start with one observation, and that's petitioners are arguing that 1404 can apply because of a need to have contractual certainty, and that that's somehow incompatible with this flexible case-by-case analysis that's demanded by 1404. But it's really not certainty. This case arises out of a construction project that's located in Texas. All of the witnesses are in Texas. Atlantic's own witnesses that have knowledge of this case are located in Texas. If it were certainty that they wanted, and it was just a matter of them being able to predict where the case was going to be heard, they could have considered these factors, which Congress mandates be taken into account in Section 1404.
You easily could have sued them in Virginia. You could have sued them if there was no forum selection clause, you could have sued them in Texas or Virginia, and either one would be fine, either where the cause of action arose or where they reside, right?
We could have...
Okay, so what does the forum selection clause add but to make you go somewhere other than where the... Obviously, where the events are occurring is a logical place to sue. No one's saying it's illogical. But what does the forum selection clause mean then if it just means we should go where the cause of action accrued? That's where you go anyway.
Your Honor, it does provide a measure of certainty. In most cases and in most commercial cases where the 1404 factors point to multiple jurisdictions, where there are counterbalancing factors to consider, the significant weight that the Supreme Court and Stewart acknowledge should be accorded to forum selection clauses will usually carry the day. But in this circumstance, every one of the other factors in the 1404 analysis point to Texas, and the Supreme Court in Stewart said that, well, yes, a forum selection clause is to be afforded significant weight. It's not determinative weight. It's not controlling of the issue, and that the other factors have to be taken into account.
How do you explain how In re Rico, which is the Stewart case, chapter, five, why does it come out the way it does? I mean, clearly Alabama was a convenient place, too, and the court presumably looked at all of that, and the 11th Circuit said, no, you didn't give, basically, very heavy weight. Yeah, there could be something so ridiculous or whatever that it mandates the maintaining in the non-contractual forum, but we don't have that in In re Rico, and we don't have that here.
Well, I respectfully, Your Honor, I disagree. I think that we do have it here. I think that Judge Yackel at the district court acknowledged the forum selection clause and the weight that was to be accorded to it. But in going through the analysis, the forum selection clause is the only factor that Atlantic can point to, or that Atlantic did point to in the district court below, as to why it should be heard in the Eastern District of Virginia. And the Supreme Court in Stewart said that that's not enough. So...
Yeah, but In re Rico, which, like I said, is a Stewart case, said basically that New York would have had to be kind of, I don't remember they used a different word, but basically ridiculously inconvenient. And Judge Yackel didn't find that. I mean, he applied a very straight-up 1404 analysis that in the absence of the forum selection clause would have been perfectly, fine. But the problem is we have this forum selection clause. Seems to me it's being given virtually no weight.
I thought your argument is that the forum selection clause is to be, the effect of it is to be governed by federal law, 1404 specifically. Let me read to you directly out of it so we don't argue about what the language of the Supreme Court is. We hold, the last paragraph, that federal law, specifically 1404A, governs what? The district court's decision to do what? To give effect to the party's forum selection clause and transfer this case to a court in Manhattan. Now, that's what controls this, and not Alabama law that says it's not enforceable.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor, and it's important not just that the.
How do we give effect to that language?
Well, Your Honor, the reason the court in Stewart found that federal law controlled, it wasn't just that the court said federal law controls this issue and because 1404 is left pending, that's what the court's directed to do. The court found that 1404A was a valid, first, that 1404A was a valid exercise of Congress's authority, and two, that it directly addressed the venue dispute before it, namely where a plaintiff files suit in a proper venue pursuant to 1391, despite the fact that there is a forum selection clause providing for an alternate federal forum. That's precisely the circumstance that's before the court.
A federal, a foreign selection clause cannot trump federal law and make a forum improper that would be proper under federal law. That's what Stewart says. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, if the language is when a litigant asserts that state law conflicts with a federal procedural statute or formal rule of procedure, a court's first task is to determine whether the disputed point, in fact, falls in the scope of the federal statute or rule. And here, the court must determine whether the scope of 1404 is sufficiently broad to cause a direct collision with state law, or implicitly to control the issue before the court, the validity before the party of the forum selection clause.
How do you explain Shute, which follows, which is after Stewart, and continues to follow the Bremen test and find forum selection clauses enforceable? I mean, under your version of the world, they really just kind of, they give you one more little straw in your, or arrow in your quiver with trying to transfer, but they're really not that helpful. Shute would be contrary to that.
Well, no, Your Honor. Shute was a motion to dismiss filed in the district court, and then on appeal, there was an issue as to whether under the Bremen standards a forum selection clause could be enforced if it wasn't negotiated and whether there was a contract of adhesion.
And what was the result?
The result was that it was transferred, and I suggest, Your Honor, that it would be the same under a 1404 analysis. In Shute, you had plaintiffs file suit in Washington because of in Washington State because of injuries that occurred on a cruise ship that was in international waters. Other than the plaintiff's choice of forum in Shute, there were no other factors that would have demanded that the case in under 1404 analysis
but there was
be heard in Washington.
There was nothing magical about the contractual choice of venue either. I mean, all these cruise ship tickets want you to go to, like, Miami or something, whether you left from Seattle or you left from Miami or you left from somewhere else. So there was nothing magical about that. They didn't say, oh, now that we have Stewart, we're suddenly just going to look at convenience and whatever. They enforced the forum selection clause. It's the same Supreme Court just a few years after Stewart. So this notion that Stewart has somehow changed Bremen from we enforce forum selection clauses to we don't or we only do it when it feels right, I don't see that because of Shute, at a minimum because of Shute. Can you address that?
Sure, Your Honor. I mean, Shute wasn't addressing 1404. It was strictly correcting the error that the appellate court made in saying that under the Bremen standards, the contract, the forum selection clause in the contract wasn't enforceable. And we're not arguing that under Bremen, or we're not arguing that the forum selection clause isn't enforceable, that it was the product of fraud, that it should be.
Let me ask you this then. How do they enforce it? If it's enforceable, what is your methodology for enforcing it?
It is enforceable pursuant to the and within the boundaries set by Congress under 1404 and the factors that Congress and the Supreme Court have mandated be the district courts consider in determining whether or not to give effect to a forum selection clause.
So it's enforceable only if 1404 would have sent us there anyway.
No, I think what the court explicitly says is that it's to be considered and weighed in the 1404 analysis. Then you can argue about whether the 1404 with a weight to be given to it is sufficient or not. But, I mean, it's a direct quote out of the opinion that it directs what to do with the forum selection clause. It doesn't give controlling a determinative weight, but it simply drops it into 1404. And that's my problem. I understand the counsel, the argument about you make about the wrong forum. I've struggled with that as well. But the difficulty with it, the premise of Stewart is that these private agreements of state law cannot alter the congressional creation of venue themselves. And it states that. Now, Scalia dissents in that, and I'm sympathetic to what he was saying, but I can count heads. Now, that's my problem. I don't know what to do with it otherwise. Well, how do you give effect to the forum? How do you say the forum clause of private agreement of state law, enforcement of state law, trumps the venue statute so as to make it wrongful, and simultaneously say, as it did, that it does not? That's what they said. It's federal rules trump. That's what this whole case is about.
That is what it's about, Your Honor.
Congress over the federal rules. It's been true since the Madisonian Compromise.
Do you have anything further?
Well, on this issue,
we're not being fair to you. I'm sorry.
I do want to address for one moment the arguments that 1404 it doesn't make sense that 1404 would apply where the forum selection clause provides for an alternate federal forum as opposed to the distinction that has been made in the case law and by this court, where the forum selection clause provides for an alternative federal forum. And I just note that there is not a statute that is directly on point that addresses those situations. And I think that the reason for that is that Congress has an interest in how, and has expressed that interest through 1404, in how the federal courts are used. They don't have a corresponding interest in how other forums are used to determine disputes.
I agree. It leads to a rather bizarre result that had, in fact, the choice been the Philippines, as long as somebody had some connection to the Philippines, we would have, you know, Judge Yackel would have had to dismiss, the case would have gone to the Philippines. But because, or if it had just said the state court in Norfolk, Virginia, would have had to dismiss and it goes there. But because they also allowed for a federal district court in Virginia, now all of a sudden they're stuck in Texas. It's a completely illogical result. I'm not saying it's necessarily not the law. I'm just saying it's completely illogical. And I'm always worried when the law leads me someplace that I can't make any sense of. Well, doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it worries me.
It may be illogical, but the act of Congress speaks and addresses the federal courts. They allocate our jurisdiction. They control our jurisdiction. We're creatures of the Congress. And the Congress here, the court, Supreme Court said, has spoken with regard to the allocation as among those district courts. And it's not controlled by state law. Now, that holds it. If somebody can show me how you give a little effect, how you can simultaneously maintain some courts held. I mean, I could have said that, but I just tell in all honesty, I do not understand how you can simultaneously give the trumping power here as the Supreme Court has recognized, and then turn around and say it doesn't. I mean, the courts did it, but I don't. And able counsel points properly to those. But I'm really directing my argument to him, I guess.
Unless if the court has any further questions on that issue.
Any further argument from the court?
Okay, well, how do you explain In re Rico then? Because In re Rico is the Stewart case. They had all these various conundrums that we've just talked about, and they came out mandamusing the Northern District of Alabama. So how do you explain that?
Your Honor, I think that there were competing interests in In re Rico, and the court made the determination that there wasn't an appropriate consideration given to the forum selection clause. In this case, Judge Yackel acknowledged the deference that's supposed to be given and the weight that's supposed to be given to the party's forum selection clause in the balance, but in his discretion, and it is a matter of his discretion, he determined that because Atlantic could only point to that forum selection clause as a basis for transferring it, that it didn't outweigh the competing factors.
Well, the district court here could have transferred this case if it struck the balance differently. He could have transferred it to Virginia, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, one of the awkward parts about that is that doesn't mean that the choice of the parties has not been given, has become irrelevant, no harm, no injury to them. Because what do we do with the direct versus barracks pickup under 1404 transfers of the law? This happens, John Deere. I can go take as a plaintiff. I can take that case and run down to a sister state where I get venue, and I can capture that law. And then I, who filed it there, can turn around and file a 1404 motion and move it back to where I want to try it, which is exactly what John Deere did. Mm-hmm. And Justice Kennedy's opinion affirms that over Scalia's dissent again. So what I'm telling you is that there you have what your argument, I think, strikes me on its turn as being sound, but it does have this consequence. That's why I ask about the choice of law provision, because it allows the plaintiff I guess that's why the wrong forum analysis is important. If it's the wrong forum, rendered forum by the private agreement, then the transfer, if it transferred it, would it have picked up the Texas law or not? You follow me? Let me take it a little quickly. In other words, if the judge below had said, I weigh these factors, and of course counsel obviously he shouldn't be doing that, he ought to just enforce it, but then he transferred it. You say, well, no harm, no foul. In any event, you ended up where you agreed to. Mm-hmm. Well, not quite, because that depends on whether or not you had a choice law provision that might also have been offended, because you're going to pick up state law.
You are correct.
And I'm asking you the question. Well, suppose that the counsel's right that the choice of law provision does have. Federal does trump the federal statute here, and that it makes it a wrongful place to file, and then it's transferred.
First of all, under Stewart, the Stewart court had a forum selection clause, and if the Stewart court felt that a parties could render venue improper by private agreement, then they could never have applied 1404. Because 1404 only applies where it is an improper, where it was filed in an initially proper venue. But to take your point, Your Honor, the transfer under 1404 would pick up Texas law if it, as Atlantic argues, should be dismissed or transferred pursuant to 1406. It would not apply Texas law. It would then the court would be forced to apply Virginia law.
Well, the argument that it's wrongful, obviously. It's needed to escape the plain language of 1406, which provides a vehicle for filing the wrong jurisdiction.
Correct.
And would presumably allow you to not pick up the state law, that the client would not be burdened with Texas law. Whether, I don't know whether it's indifference or not, but presumably if you bargained with the other forum, you wanted that law too, I would have thought.
Let me ask you this. If we don't grant the petition for writ of mandamus, can they then add a counterclaim for breach of contract for failing to follow the forum selection clause and recover the damages for having to litigate in the faraway venue?
Not valid.
I do, if they could prove damage arising from a forum selection clause, it's not an issue before us, Your Honor, but I don't think so, because I think that Congress still sets the bounds of where venue is.
But Congress hasn't proposed to rewrite contracts. So if we say, well, Congress has chosen venue and therefore we won't issue a mandamus and so on, you still have this contract clause. It's not been invalidated. The contrary, Bremen says they're enforceable. Schutz says they're enforceable, and 100 other cases say they're enforceable. So how's he going to enforce it?
But you would have a contract provision then that would be contrary to the law, and I don't know that would be enforceable as a counterclaim for breach of contract.
Contracts are valid so long as they don't transcend law that trumps it.
Your Honors, I just conclude that, again, this is a writ of mandamus, and I don't think Judge Yackel has erred at all. I certainly don't think that it produces a patently erroneous result. Under all of the factors, under all of the circumstances, this case should be heard in Texas, and that is what Judge Yackel found, and I urge the court to uphold his decision.
Thank you, Your Honors. Judge Elrod, I am going to try to answer your question about 1404A factors, but
good.
Before doing so, I want to briefly...
Oh, please don't hold me in suspense anymore.
Your Honor, I wanted to briefly pick up on one of the last thoughts that was in the exchange between Judge Higginbotham and Mr. Simon on choice of laws, because it actually leads to a very important point, which I believe actually could be dispositive of how to read Stewart in this circuit. Mr. Simon's right about how the choice of law works, so if it's a 1406 transfer versus a 1404 transfer, it does impact what law will apply in this case. This Court's decision in Jackson versus West Telemarketing, 2001, so post-Stewart, Judge Politz writing for the Court, addressed an issue as to whether a transfer from California to a court inside the Fifth Circuit, which standard it was under, and this is Judge Politz writing for the Court. Stewart does not mandate that whenever a forum selection clause exists, any transfer must fall under Section 1404A. And he continued by doing the choice of laws analysis and concluding that the transfer had to have been under 1406, which is exactly the position that we're articulating here, that 1406, because of a venue transfer, is absolutely appropriate.
Yeah, if you get under 1406, you escape, obviously, but that's the question.
Yes, and so, Your Honor, in Jackson, the Court expressly said that 1404 was not the only avenue for transfer. We believe, just quickly on Stewart, if we're right about Stewart, I think one of the difficulties has been that a lot of courts have speculated that if the position I'm articulating is right, what does Stewart mean? It still has meaning. For example, Judge Higginbotham, the cases that you were suggesting, if this was filed in Virginia, there could be a 1404A analysis and Stewart were controlled. If venue was waived, as in the Stewart case itself, it would control. And then you get into the mess of multiple claims, you know, and I think this Court, and I know I've certainly seen it, where you have contract claims pleaded that have come under multiple contracts, and one might have a forum selection clause and others don't.
Well, I assume in an amendment to 1404A that the party's agreement to consent to the forum that you would at least make that a open up that forum as a potential transferee district under 1404.
Potential, that's right, Your Honor.
And you better answer Judge Elrod's question.
Are you reluctant because the factors are so bad for you?
No, Your Honor. They're actually good for us if the correct burden of proof is used. And this is why the issue is mandamusable in this case.
So you have something besides the clause?
Your Honor, the clause is the most important factor, and I want to discuss the importance of that factor in a second.
Are all the witnesses in Texas?
I don't believe that is the case. My client handles
all the
business
exes in Texas. I don't know.
Okay, tell us why. Yes. Answer it. Yeah. Go ahead.
And, Your Honor, the record in this case is relatively a short record, and the record is what it is. What's important about the standards is, first of all, if we're under a 1404A analysis, the correct rule is that the parties chose a forum. And so you start with the presumption of Virginia.
Okay, you've already covered the forum selection clause. I want you to get to all the other things, where the papers are, where the people are, where all of those types of things.
And, Your Honor, what's been pleaded is a payment dispute, and what's in the record from my client is that their accounting and their business folks are in Virginia. That's what's in the record. We actually have a contract that while the project itself was at Fort Hood and J. Crew is in Texas, my client's in Virginia. The project was issued out of the Army Corps of Engineers in Alabama. It's administered through agencies in Northern Virginia, and the accounting from the government end is actually in Tennessee.
So he's incorrect when he says your client's witnesses are also in Texas.
Your Honor, that is pleaded in their affidavit, and
have you refuted that?
And I'm trying to think. I think in our affidavit we have not expressly refuted that. So
I'm
not.
You have to take as true that your clients or your real witnesses are also in Texas.
Some, yes, not all. We did plead that our client's business is in Virginia. What's important, though, and this gets to again to the burden is one of the points. The importance is. The burden wasn't on my client to come forward and identify and explain why Texas was an inconvenient forum. The burden, which was not imposed on J. Crew, but the correct burden was on J. Crew to explain why Virginia is the incorrect forum. That's what the case law says coming from the RICO case. That's what the case law comes out of the Third Circuit. Moore's Federal Practice has a discussion on this. And what happens is, just like setting aside a forum selection clause, I'll use the Time versus Manning case that was cited by J. Crew. The ordinary situation is that when the plaintiff files a lawsuit, they've picked their forum. We now know after Volkswagen that's not entitled to some great deference, but it certainly says who has the burden.
Volkswagen says it's entitled to great deference, uses that very phrase.
Your Honor, it places a burden of proof on there. It says it's not a factor. It's not one of an independent factor. It says the choice of forums is what establishes the burden. When you have a forum selection clause, it flips because the parties chose their forum, and just the same level, or actually greater deference, is given to the contractual choice of forum under the RICO case and others looking at it, than what happens in the normal circumstance. And that's the important thing. If you apply the proper burden here, J. Crew has made a very minimal showing of inconvenience by having to litigate in his contractual forum. The reason why mandamus should be here, and I would not be here if we're just talking about balancing factors, the reason why mandamus is the appropriate remedy is because the court made errors of law that are impacting not just this case but other cases as to how you handle these issues. And the legal issues is what's driving this whole thing.
What other avenue of review do parties have in these situations where mandamus is denied and then the transfer is made? Realistically, is it pretty much it?
That's pretty much it.
That is our position.
Either way.
So you got to sue for breach of contract and see what happens to that.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, would you please, however we come out, go to the Supreme Court on this? They may or may not take you, but we need to get this finally figured out, whatever we say.
Your Honor, I think we would all love to have these answers litigated. I can't think of the number of times I've personally had to deal with this one, but fortunately we've at least had the opportunity to come here today to try to get some guidance. So thank you very much.
Both of y'all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This case is submitted. We will stand in recess until 9 a.m.